Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down.
Soon I'll be heaven bound.
He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountain, walked through some valley. I thought I would never see dawn. But the one I said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down. Soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down. Soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down. Soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. After all his life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Trials here are sometimes many, and at times my feet grow weary, till it seems I almost stumble, then I fall. But the tender hand that leads me is the hand that keeps me steady, and my faith I know I'll make it after all. After all this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. By myself I cannot make it, but I know He's there to help me. He will hear my cry if only I will call. Just keep trusting, keep on believing. Are the words I hear Him whisper, just a few more days to labor after all. After all, when life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all.
Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in His presence.
nothing else matters. Worship His name, adore Him with praise, right here and now. Our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in His presence. Nothing else matters. Worship His name. Adore Him with praise. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in His presence. Nothing else matters. To worship His name, adore Him with praise, right here and now. Our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Jesus, how I trust You, how I prove You and all. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I trust Him over and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I trust Him over and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
How great it is to serve a living God, who knows each breath I take and every path I trod. How great it is to serve the God that's real, to knows my every tear, and He knows just how I feel. How great it is to serve and every path I draw. How great it is to serve a God that's real, who sees my every tear, and He knows just how I feel. How great it is to serve a living God, who knows each breath I take and every path I draw. How great it is to serve a God that's real, who sees my every tear, and He knows just how I feel.
I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds that wind would hang. Oh, won't You come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I should go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hay. Oh, won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in Glory Lane. I need no mansion here below, where Jesus said and I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with haze. Oh, won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in Glory Lane.
Acts 16, verse 31. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. He replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. See, I'm trying to get to something here. Und sie sprachen, glaube an den Herrn Jesus Christus, so wirst du dein Haus selig. See, back then, it was, the big thing was back then, for people to believe on the Lord. The guy that they crucified. It was after the crucifixion. And that's all they were trying to tell the people. To believe in the Lord. And here's the key. Here's the kicker. If you believe, your whole family structure will be somehow saved. If you can get yourself to believe. Back then, it was believed the message for your day. The whole countryside was entertained himself with the fact that Jesus was that Messiah, Jesus was that person, the one they crucified, he was the one. It was the message for that day and that hour, and that whole countryside, that whole Middle East was all about Jesus back then. But then it moves on, it keeps evolving. It's still, to this day, it's still all about Jesus. But it's Jesus and the message for your day, like Arrhenius had a message for his day. We keep saying it over and over again, but you have to keep repeating it so people get it, because we're living in an era of time where everything is perverted. The whole atmosphere and this hour and day is for deception. It's all geared up for deception, just like the natural world out there. It's all geared up for war. Like the whole world is structured for war now. That's what it is. Back then it was, the structure was all about Jesus until Satan came, and of course he polluted it. But what I'm trying to say here, just thought about that, what, like we were saying the other day, if you, back in the days of Hosea, if people could only get themselves to believe what Hosea was saying, because Hosea back then, he was the message for the people for that hour. And he said, because you rejected me, they rejected Hosea, and they went in and into captivity, and that was Israel. And to this day, they're still out there in captivity, 2,000, 3,000 years later, simply because they rejected what Hosea had to say from God to the people for that hour. The people that believed Hosea, God remembered their children. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I said the other day. If you could get yourself to believe, I said, if you don't do it for yourself, at least do it for your children. Because if you don't believe, neither will your children be saved. But here it's the opposite. If you can get yourself to a place where you can believe what we're trying to say here, because we're just continuing on with that stream that began way back before the foundation of the world, when God created that first angel. That stream has been going for millions and millions of years. And when Jesus was here, he said, me and my Father worketh hitherto. And that stream just kept going with Jesus. And then when Jesus goes off the scene, that stream kept on running through the through these church messages, through these angels that Jesus said he's going to send. He said, I'm going to send, if you believe on him, whom I was, you and your whole household will have eternal life. I think he said it also to that jailer. When the jailer there, he said, if you can get yourself to believe what we're trying to tell you here, you and your whole household will be saved. And he said it to that Ethiopian person too. When Philip met him at that chariot, if you can all get yourself to believe what we're trying to tell you here, you and your whole household will be saved. It's all about the household, you know. Mm-hmm. God, I can't explain it, but I know there's certain individuals. God can get that certain individual to believe, automatically, God's going to see into it somehow. That whole family structure will be there in glory with you. You can get yourself, and here in this end time, back in the days of Brother Branham, we keep repeating ourselves because we have to repeat ourselves because we're living in an age of deception. The whole universe or the whole atmosphere is charged up with weapons of mass deception. The church world out there, all it is geared behind it. It's the spirit of Satan to deceive even the very elect, if it be possible. If you're looking at it from you, or you and I are looking at it, we can almost see it like a mist throughout the atmosphere. It's geared for deception and deception and more deception. That's why we have such a hard time to get people to come in. They think we're foolish. They think we're stupid. They got no respect for what we're saying. They don't believe a word we're saying, because if they would, they would go tell somebody, and that somebody would also be interested. But see, they hear us, but they don't really hear us. You know, they hear our voice, but they don't. It really doesn't penetrate into their heart that they would actually go tell somebody. The first thing I did when I heard something about Brother Branham, man, a living, it was a spiritual gold mine for me. I couldn't wait. It was happened out in Vancouver. I couldn't wait to come back to Manitoba and tell everybody I knew. And I thought everybody would like to hear that, but I found out they don't. It was forbidden territory, like I'm saying, like I said the other day. If you don't do it for yourself, at least do it for your children. Look in the eyes of your children. They're innocent there, but you're determining their destiny. If you don't do nothing about this here truth that we've been trying to tell to the people all around the world, those little children, they're not going to go into that place. They're not going to go into that place of glory. They'll just go out wherever. Where the children go, they're going to get lost. And it's up to you to do something about what we're telling you. We're not playing a game. We're very serious with this. We've gone ever since the early 90s. The Lord put us on this journey just simply to have a truth here in this end time that God knows the beginning from the end. And he raised us up to have that oasis, to have a way of escape for you and your family structure. It's all about family structure. I can't quite explain it, but I know for a fact, if you can get yourself to believe that what we're saying here is the truth, is the message for your day, then you and your whole household will be saved. If you can only get yourself, then you tell, like exactly what the Bible says, let him that hear it say come. Because you're so excited about this truth. There's eternal life here. You get you out of this hell that's coming just up the road, or just another 3 years, the day if the Lord kicks in. Mm-hmm. And if you don't tell them, they'll all go down to destruction. You have to do your part like you and I. We're doing our part. We're doing everything we can. We would do a lot more if we could, but we're living in an age where that scripture is activated, where it says, work while it is yet day, for soon the night cometh where no man can work. And we're in that era. We're in that time frame where no man can work. The only thing you can do is just do something for your family, so that at least you and your family structure will be will have an expected end. It's such a darkness out there. That's why we keep repeating ourselves. That's why we keep beating the drums. That's why we keep doing what we're doing from early morning till late at night, wherever there is an opportunity. But see, because we're in case we're exactly where it says, where no man can work. We can work. Every time we try to get somebody involved here, every time we go and witness to somebody, it backfires on us because we're in that place where it says, when no man can work. Now all that's left, all we gotta do, if you can hear it, if you can hear what we're saying, at least do it for your children, for your family structure. You're responsible for your family. Every generation is responsible for their family, for their children. And I'm responsible for my children. I had to do my part so that my children would have an expected end, or at least show that if they don't want it, well, the Lord will just have to leave them be. But and then they have a responsibility on their children. And then their children, as they move up and grow, come to the age of accountability, they have a responsibility for their children. If people of the world would have done that, but see what happened, they became lax and they didn't do their part, like Ronald Reagan was saying. And every generation has a responsibility, because truth is handed down to their children, to their generation, but each one has a responsibility to hang on to the truth. And you and I, we're doing our part. We're doing sometimes a little bit more than our part, and then we get ourselves into trouble, and then like we tried our level best on that, your cousin, that Randy, and you heard through the grapevine that he went out and bought a Bible. Well, if he's interested in his personal thing, so we make contact with him, and then he calls up, or he sent us an email. He wants us to baptize him. So we took him out to the lake to baptize him in Jesus' name, and it all backfired on us, because he started turning against us, and he started doing stupid things, trying to convince us that the earth is flat. Mm-hmm. And see, it didn't work out with him, because darkness has set in, and darkness has overtaken the people that, you know, we're living in that time frame where no man can work while it is yet day. Back 50, 20, 30 years ago, you could still do things. But now the darkness is so intense that no man can work. You could just barely save your own household. You could just barely keep your head above the water, because the world has so many enticements. I just thought I'd bring that in, because I saw it for what it really is. When mm-hmm. I said the other day that you and your whole household will be saved. Heavenly Father, we just want to come into your presence, Lord, worship you, Lord. Spirit and truth, magnify your great name. Exalt you above all other gods, Lord. And just continue to ask the Lord that you would do with us as you see fit. You've done so much for us, Lord. Back in the day, you gave us of our sins, and you saw our need, and you came down, and you took that weight off our hearts, on our back, that tremendous weight of guilt, and then turned around, and you gave us eternal life. And we're ever grateful, Lord. That's the only thing we can say, thank you, Lord. We can say it over and over and over again, but it don't mean nothing, Lord, until we say, Lord, here we are, do with us as you see fit, because there's nothing in us that has any value, that can produce anything that has any eternal value. So we just continue to say, Lord, do with us as you see fit. Use us for your honor, for your glory, and I pray, Lord, you just give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So that's basically the hour we're living in. And people got no respect for truth. Like we're saying things here for the last 30 years, and it goes all around the world, and some people listen in, and then they chill out, and then they hear us say something that doesn't fit the narrative, like that that Matthew Cox. He sent us an email back in the day, and he was so excited. He said, I've been looking for truth for this for 10 years, he said, and ever since Brother Jackson passed away, he's seen all the corrects what they're doing to the message of Brother Jackson, and then here he had such a desire to find the truth for the hour, and here the Lord gave him a dream. I told you before, and in the dream he said, the Lord told him, tomorrow I'm going to show you where the truth is. So the next day he goes on his computer and he finds our website, and then he sends us an email and tells how grateful he is that he found his truth that's out there on the internet. And then he was then for a while, he was excited that he found it. He was glad it was on MP3, and for about a month or two we were communicating back and forth, and then here lo and behold, he packs it in. He doesn't show up anymore because the things that we say doesn't fit his narrative, because he had his idea that he's some kind of an apostle. And the things that we say and hear and this conversation, there's no room for that apostle. Mm-hmm. We're just doing what the Lord has honed us out to do. We're not in that apostle business. We're just doing, holding on to the truth that apostle has brought us. And that's our only job description that we have, like I keep saying. We're fighting a war on three fronts. One of them is hold on to the things that you have been taught. And we've been taught it from Brother Branham and Brother Jack, and we're holding on to that for dear life because that's our mission. And our mission is to tell the people all around the world where we are in time. We got it right down to the day from that midnight cry. That's why we keep repeating it and repeating it. Like Peter said, I know you know these things. I know you heard it before. But it has to come established in your heart that the first thing you want to do, you're so excited about it, who are you going to tell? You're going to tell your family members. You're going to tell the neighbors, just like I did. First thing I did, I went down, when I came back from Vancouver and I heard about God sent a prophet, I went and told my wife and my family and my relatives and everybody, and here lo and behold, here my wife gets a book, an anti-Brother Branham book, where, and there it tells you all the shortcomings that Brother Branham had. You know, when God does something, the devil is right there to try to undermine it. And there does that book laying on my desk. I read part of it, and it's just set up by the devil, by the critics, by the antis, you know. Mm-hmm. And, well, there you have it. But I told people, I told everybody, and because I told the Hutterites, I told these preachers, and because of that, I was put into exile. But see, that's all good and well. I don't mind that at all, because that's just the way, that's the nature of the beast. That's just the way it works. But I did my part, but shocks me that people here at the Lystra, but they don't even as much as tell anybody about it. Mm-hmm. Because if they would, we would have a lot of people on, a lot more people on WhatsApp, you know what I'm saying? The first thing you do, you tell people about it. That's what I did. That's what the Bible says over in the book of Revelation. To have that hear it, see, come. This is a message that will take you into the glorious marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's all that's left out here. Believe you me, if there was anything other than what we're saying here, you and I, we'd be sitting there enjoying, just listening what that preacher up there has to say. But there was nothing out there. It's all interconnected with these seven stars. And we're right now at the tail end of civilization as you know it. Civilization as you and I know it, as the people of the world, is only 3 more years. And that civilization as we know it, the prince of this world is going to be cast out, and completely a new environment sets in where Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign, and the kingdoms of this world will then become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're right now living in the tail end of civilization as we know it. And the people out there, they don't know what's going on out there with these wars and these civil war coming into America and this thing over in Israel. It's all simply because we've read the script. We read all of it. We read the blueprint, and all we're doing out here now, we're telling people where we are in time. We're telling people what that apostolic and that prophetic ministry of Laodicea came to do, to open up our eyes and to dress us, like it says over in Revelation, to the church of Laodicea. I know you're naked, you're blind, you're wretched, you're miserable and poor. That's the church rule out there. And then he advises, I advise you to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. And it's the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Outside of that, there's no reason to even be alive in this world, this world of confusion that we're living in. And here, we're just doing our level best to try to present a world with the truth, with what's left of it. the left of the civilization that we're in, because Satan, his days are numbered. Just 3 years from now, we can tell you exactly right to the day. In fact, if you're interested, if you have a desire and a passion to know what we're saying, you just go to the Midnight Cry, and then you'll come up to October 15, 2021. And then it's 7 years from there, and then Satan is done. He's done. His 6,000th year expires. Exactly. 7 years from October the 15th, 2021, and he's done. Then it's 1,260 days to the middle of the week, and then it's 42 months to the end of it, and that expires Satan's time on this earth. The prince of this world is then cast out, and he is done. And then he goes to hell. That angel comes down and ties him up, and then another civilization kicks in. At first comes the day of the Lord, and then it comes to resurrection, the separating of the goats and the sheep, and then Jesus comes and he sets up his kingdom. It's very simple. And then you evolve into completely another phase where you live to be 1,000 years old, and then if you're found faithful and true, you go into the eternal age, and then throughout eternity, God finally has his family. To you and I, it's such a simple progress, because that's all we've ever done, all we ever wanted from the Lord, to find out what, to get to know this great God. Because back in Matthew, I think it's in John, where it says, this is life eternal, that they know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That's our only ambition. We had a life. The natural world out there does not attract us. We're done with this world. We're living in the spirit, in the spirit realm. That's the only thing that excites us. It's the only job description we have. Like I say, we're fighting the battle on three fronts to expose that spiritual wickedness in high places, to expose these religious, like I say, spiritual, religious wickedness. Who is it? Who's it? It's these churches out there. Mm-hmm. It's these Eddie Biscals and these Leonard from Delta and these big guys, these spiritual wickedness in high places. And because at the end of the day, it's all going to be exposed. At the end of the day, it's all really comes from the Vatican. All these churches, they come out from the Vatican, and then they're going back into the Vatican. And at the end of the day, the people of the world, they're going to know. Behind all that, it's the Vatican, it's the Pope. And at the end of it all, right at the end of the book of Revelation, the last chapter there, or somewhere back there, Satan gets, the Pope gets an atomic bomb, right, over in the Vatican. You can read it, that the men will stand from afar off as they watch a bird. They go, because they have to stand afar off because of the nuclear fallout. They can't go near that thing. And that happens, but right now they're so deceived, they think that the Pope is this holy man. And like in the Hutter edition, they think that that Leonard and that Arnold, they're these holy people. Well, they're not. It's deception. And we're just taking the wraps off so people can see things for themselves. That whole church world out there, that whole religious system, is exactly what the Bible said that it's evolved into. It used to not be like that, but now it evolved into, because Satan has overtaken every aspect of society. And now we see the book of Revelation say, come out of her, my people, or you're going to partake of her sins and you'll receive her plague. See, you and I, we're so consumed with the Word of God, with the blueprint, that to you and I, everything is such a crystal clear picture. It's like a blueprint. When you read a blueprint, when you're building a house, and first you do it, you read a blueprint, and you put everything in its rightful place, and before you know it, you got a picture of that whole house. And here, you and I, we've been in the Bible all our life, and we see the end time, you know, just the foliage right in front of our eyes. That thing that's going on in the States now, with this civil war just coming up here, and all these terrorists in there, and all these people shooting each other, that's all George Washington's vision. You can go read it. You can just tap it into your computer, George Washington's vision, and it'll tell you about the three wolves that comes to America. That's, you're right in it now. And then it'll, if you read the book of Revelation, it'll talk about the great tribulation, about the tribulation coming. Well, you're in it. It's the early stages of it. It hasn't reached its peak yet. And that's all we're doing. We're telling people throughout all this mess, there is a way of escape here. There's the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's an invitation going out to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's all. That's what we're doing here. That's our mission. That's our job description that we have.
Mm-hmm. Like the situations have always been the same. Like what would a person do to save his household? Like and we know, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your whole household will be saved. There is something a person needs to do. You can't just expect it to come by itself. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that, and there is something I read in Brother Brenham. There's a story about Shemgar. Shemgar was a judge in the book of Judges in Israel before they had kings, when they came into the land of Canaan. And he was, I think, about the 13th judge. Anyway, when you read in the book of Judges, there's just one little paragraph about Shemgar.
Uh-huh.
But Brother Brenham, he has a whole story that he brings into it, and he makes it come alive. Mm-hmm. How Shemgar, every year the Philistines, they would come in the time of harvest, when they were harvesting their grain and their harvest, and they would have it in their barns and they would start harvesting it out. And they had to do it in a little bit of a secrecy because of they would come every year and ravish everything. Mm-hmm. And take it, and then they would live in their luxurious lifestyle because of the grain that the Israelites had produced during the year. They would steal it from them. And he had just done his threshing, and he was standing in his barn with his grain there, and his wife was by his side, and they were all hungry. They were hungry people because every year they would do that, the Philistines, to them. They would take their grain, and they would practically starve to death if they wouldn't kill them in the process of stealing their grain from them, the Philistines. If they would be left alive, they would practically starve to death. So he had his wife there, Shemgar, and his daughter, and they were both looking at him because he could hear something approaching up the lane mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. from his property. And he knew right away what it was going to be, because it happened every year, right, that these Philistines would come and ravage them. So he was standing there, and his wife by his side. She had her shirt had no sleeves on. They were poor, and his wife, his daughters, looked up at him, and her face was like one of the children that are starving. Mm-hmm. Like their faces were all, their features were all pronounced, and you could really see their features. Their cheeks weren't rounded like you see our children in our day here. Their cheeks are round because they're all well fed. But back in that day, they were not well fed. So as he was coming out, there were 600 Philistines and armed. They were all heavily armored. And he was not a soldier. And he thought the whole situation over. I'm not a soldier. I don't know nothing about using a sword. What am I going to do? There's 600 against me. He was just standing there with his farm clothes on. And he looked out and he saw those 600 Philistines with their heavy armory on. And he thought, I'm no match against this here. Well, then all of a sudden he thought to himself, you know what? I'm a Jew. I'm circumcised. I am in the covenant with God through the promise that he promised to Abraham. And I have every right to protect myself and my family. So he did everything he could for his family. So there was an ox goad. And an ox goad was a stick. And it was kind of had some maybe nails in there to kind of goad the oxes along. As they were, if they wouldn't be moving, they would kind of use it to kind of get them going. Mm-hmm. And so he took that ox goad and he went out and he killed 600 Philistines.
He did.
He did. 600 Philistines. Now, in the book of Judges, it will say he killed 600 Philistines, Shemgar. That's all it writes about Shemgar. But Brother Branham brings in a beautiful story about how it all transpired. Now, I don't know if it happened that way, but I'm just, because it's so symbolically and real that he did everything he possibly could to save his family. And there was nothing that stood in the way. Why? Because he was under the covenant of God. He believed in God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had all the right qualities. He didn't have an armor on, and he didn't have all these, like you could say, you didn't go into the seminars of the universities to study to be this big theologian and this and that and the other, but you have the promises of God in His Word. And that's all we need. You don't need to be this big, highfalutin teacher in the this and that and the other. All you need to know are the promises of God, and you claim those just like Shemgar did. He claimed the promises of God, and he went out and slew those religious, we'll call them religious leaders. He slew them all down, and you know what? I'm going to save my family. You can kind of bring it into a story of like you did everything you could for your family. You stood up against those religious leaders, and I'm going to save my household. And because of what Jesus did for me at Calvary, I have every right to defend my family from religious ideologies and from burdens that these religions put on people. You can kind of put it into a real...
into today's picture.
That's right, into today's picture. As I was reading it yesterday, it came alive to me how, you know, when you stand up against wrong, against these things, and you claim the promises of God in His Word, not against religious organizations, but promises of God in His Word. Jesus died for me at Calvary, and He made it possible for me, and I can take that ox goad, and I can slay 600 Philistines, and I can save my family.
That's exactly what we're doing here.
That's
we're
right.
exposing them,
and
we're actually coming up against them. We're doing the same
That's
thing.
That's right.
They, and at the end of the day, we're standing on the promises. Exactly. That's why we keep repeating it over and over and over. This is going to be eternal life that they believe on them whom I will send. And throughout the grace, it's a beautiful pitch. As it just, that stream just keeps a flowing from Paul to Irenaeus to Columba to Martin to Columba to Martin Luther and here and John and here now. We're only concerning about ourselves is now the ministry of William, Mary, and Brenham. And then it goes over to Brother Jackson. And that's all you need for survival, spiritual survival. And the day and hour we're living in, because it's the truth for your day. And then here we are, after everything being said and done, all our commission is, all our job description is to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. We expose spiritual wickedness and high place, and we do that wholesale every chance we get. We expose. We expose that Eddie Bishop. He was a first-class robber. He robbed all those people. He had influence all around the world, but thousands and thousands of people. He led them to believe that he was the successor to Brother Branham because he went hunting with him. What he's doing, he's taking these people from under the umbrella of Brother Jackson because God used Brother Jackson. Once Brother Branham went off to sea, he used the vocal cord of Raven M. Jack to continue on with the program. What does he do? He's got such tremendous influence. And now here, he died here a couple of weeks ago. And here, all we do, we're exposing him for what he was. He was just a fraud. He wasn't for real. He was an agent of Satan to keep the people in darkness from the truth that was shed across the world through the ministry of Brother Raven M. Jackson. And he robs him. And we're exposing him for what a fraud he was and what a thief he was. Agents of Satan. And we're exposing that Leonard and that guy from Acadia. We're exposing them who they are. They're not real. They're fraudsters. They don't tell people the truth. They got no, they don't give people any hope. All they do is, you can't have a cell phone. All he could do, that other guy, all he talks about, the forefathers, the forefathers. That's all they got. They got nothing to give people for their soul and their spirit, so they can have a hope that if you can only get yourself to believe what we're trying to say here for the last umpteen years, you will end up at the mercy of the Lord. Don't know. I don't know how it's all going to come about, but I know I can trust the Word of God. And just like that guy you were just talking about, he said, he got up one day, and I'm going to do it. Huh. I got this ox here that I killed, that ox thing here, I'm going to kill all these Philistines. Mm-hmm. Kill 600 of them. Mm-hmm. And so, save his son.
Well, why? Because he had the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have the covenant for our day and hour. We have that prophetic ministry, that apostle ministry, and we have the righteousness for our day and hour, and we know we have the truth, and we can proclaim it throughout the world because we know what God has done in this hour. We know we have it. The Hutterites don't have it. It's sorry to say, but these religious leaders today do not have what it takes to take you through this hour that we're now living in. This message is the only message that can do that, because it's the righteousness for your day and hour. 600 year old sermons are not going to do it. The message of Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith, is not adequate for this hour. We have the whole counsel of God, the truths that all that God restored, and all that in a package for our day and hour that will take you through this murky waters, this chaos in this world that we're now living in. Just like Shimgar, he could save his family from those Philistines because he had it. He had what it took, and the God of heaven was on his side. And that's what you need in this hour to make it true. You need a God of heaven to be on your side to make it true.
And he's never going to go against his word. We're just telling people what's in that word, what's in that great counsel that he had there before the foundation of the world. All we're doing, we're reading onto you the script, and we're putting in today's language so that it's easy for even a child to understand. We read the blueprint. We know exactly what's coming. We know exactly what's going on. We know what's coming over America. It's that third peril that George Washington had from that angel. Just at the right time, we're having decided we're going to go down there. Down, and he sent that angel down there, and he tied a conversation with George Washington, and then George Washington put it into a script, and that's exactly what's been going on in America for 250 years now. And now here's the tail end of it, and at the end of it all, there's going to be a beautiful America going on over, right over on into the millennium. Mm-hmm. That's just that simple. That's what's going on out there. You and I, we're not worried about how many tribulations and how many woes and how many this and how many that. Because at the end of the day, the Lord comes down, and if we're faithful to the end, he just simply takes us out of here, and then all hell breaks loose, the day of the Lord. And everybody then at the mercy of Satan's short time that he has to completely destroy this planet, really. And then at the end of it all, like I say, then it comes in the day of the Lord. It doesn't bother us, you know. You and I, we're right on track. We're telling people all around the world. That's why he got me one day, woke me up, told me to start up his website. Then he brings you on board to do the website thing and everything else in between, putting all the finishing time. That's why he said to me, without Lorraine, there is no program. You might as well just not have ever been born again. And then you come on board, and we move ahead, and that's what we're doing here today. Every day, then he moves on us to do it every day, put our daily bread out every day, and that's what we're doing. We're just obedient to the Lord. That's all we're interested in this world. Lord, use us for your glory, because there's nothing in us. We don't even have a clue what to do, what to say, what not to say, but then he gives us our job assignment, expose you on food for darkness. Tell people where we are in time. Anyway. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We're doing exactly what he's exactly honed us out before the foundation of the world when he made that blueprint. and we just happened to find our faith in Christ, and then we just finally said, Lord, do with us as you see fit. Out of gratitude for what you've done for us. Forgive us of our sins, you know. There's no way we could have forgiven our sins. We got rid of that big load, that big load of guilt, that big rock that was on our back, and he just came down one day and took it away. Now we're grateful for that, because that's the only thing it can be. Just be grateful. And the only way to show gratitude is just tell the Lord you're willing and able to do whatever he wants with us. That's all we're doing here. If people are interested, fine. If not, well, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing we can do. We can't go around twisting arms. We can't even as much as go around telling people, because what happens is it backfires on us every time. And you think they got a license to go out and smear and lie things about us? That's just the nature of the beast. That's what's in the atmosphere out there. Just like it was back in the days of Noah. Everybody thought they got a license when they saw Noah building that boat up there. They thought they had the okay from God or whatever to go and mock him. And that's what they did. They went out and they made fun of him and mocked him, that fool. He wants to drown on when there's no water around. They made fun of him every time they saw him. And to this day, it says, in the end time, there will be scoffers and mockers like, where's the promise of his coming? That's what they say about us when we tell them about the day and hour we're living in. Oh, no man knows the day and the hour. Oh, the Bible says no man knows. Well, we happen to do know that the Lord gave us the midnight cry. We tell them everything that's 100% accurate. And it's going to happen whether people are ready for it or not. It's just going to sweep them away, and then they'll say to the rocks, fall on us, and to the mountain, hide us from him that's coming back. Enoch saw. He saw the Lord come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. That's just up the road here in our lifetime. It's exciting because we're not worried about it. We're doing our level best to be faithful to the Lord. That's all you need to do. God will take care of the rest.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord. We just want to help people see where you are at in time, what you've allowed us to see. And we just want to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, Lord. What the devil has been up to, Lord, to deceive people and to keep them in bondage, Lord. We just pray that you'll help them see, open up their understanding, so that they can too believe in what you are doing, and so that they and their whole household can be saved. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.